Breezy.
Moe's Nose.
Peachy, it's about that time, everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's Nose, Peachy, Breezy, and Fair to God. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you nine at all. We two gorillas, silver back, nah, silver
home. You know it's busting good discussion cause we get it in. Every time you know we grinding, I was 8 to 10. We always play to win, the faithful going hard. It's Wayne, Breezy, Peachy, Moe's Nose, and Fair to God. Let's get it.
Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. We outline players up in chalk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall.
It's about that time, everybody turn your TVs on. What's going on, everybody? The Nitty Gritty Niners Talk crew is here. It's Monday. You know what time it is. It's time to get gritty. I got Moe's Gritty. I got Peachy Gritty. My man Fair Gritty is on his way to Nationals. We got to give Fair and his kids a round of applause. I told Fair earlier today, y'all, said, listen, if I was coaching them kids, I'd have got fired week two. Because some of the exploitives that might have probably came out of my mouth wouldn't have flew with those parents. I would have cursed them out too. Yeah. And then you just saw me on SportsCenter. One way or another, I'm going to make it. I can tell you that right now. So shout out to Fair and what him and his coaches are doing with these kids out here in Waterbury, Connecticut. They're on their way to Nationals, man. That's a big, yeah, big shout out.
Awesome.
All right, let's check in with you two. Like, Moe's, Peachy, how y'all doing today? What's going on? It's Monday. It's the end of week 12. We got one more game to go. I don't think anybody's going to watch this game. But how are you guys doing, Moe's, Peachy?
It's just another Monday, Peachy.
Same. We'll just cut it short and...
Just another Monday.
We are excited to be back together. The fam is always happy to be back together when we can do that, especially on this huge week we have going on, because this is Philly week. We've been waiting for all year. That's finally here. It's really funny because this was the only week that I was really like terrified about mentally at the start of the season. So, like, some people may have been nervous about Seattle. Like, I wasn't nervous about Seattle. I kept saying, whatever. But this week was the first week that I was actually feeling like a bunch of nerves about. So it's here. It's Philly week, and it's going to be a long week, and it's going to be fun. The Nitty Gritty crew will be in Philly this weekend. So it's going to be something. Definitely going to be something. You know, I do want to say this one thing. So there's like a lot of women, you know, I'll say that are like, you're crazy for going to Philly. How can you do that? They're so, you know, like, look what, you know, happened, you know, with Miss Warner and all these people there and all the horrible things that they say. First of all, words have never bothered you, girl, one bit. Like, it does not matter. I know ain't nobody going to put their hands or try to put a hand on me, because if they put a hand on me, they got to deal with these two right here. And I happen to be sitting right beside Moe's. So, therefore, I wish somebody would try to put a hand on me. But words are nothing. Bring your words. I'm a huge, you know, crap talker, because we haven't been on here long enough myself. So, bring it. And my son's in the chat, and he'll tell you, there's not much I'm afraid of. There's really not. So, therefore, you know, bring it. But, yeah. We'll look at Moe's and they'll sit their butt down. They'll be trying to do anything.
There he is.
So, yep.
There he is. Heard him on the phone and before we went live. He was too early to do that, but he was talking. you know, and this is what it's supposed to be, man. This is what sports is all about, right? The smack talk, the fans go at it, but you keep it respectful. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Your son's very respectful. Mm-hmm. When you go to Philly, there are different levels of disrespect.
Yes.
The last time we were in Philly, Three people, Mo's? How many times? I almost got into three fights.
At least.
And he almost got into it with the older,
that was the first time I went. Age, color, ain't no discrimination. This Philly, you're an Eagles fan or you're scum to them.
Right.
Because one was disrespect by a kid, but it wasn't like a little kid. It was more like a teenage kid that was about to go through this rites of passage right here. And his father was going to let him, too. That was the funny part. But it's different. It's definitely different monsters. So, like, if you do go to this game, make sure you're with a group. Because walking in the stadium is tough. Yes. Walking in the stadium is rough.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the disrespect to where they might, like, spit, but they definitely will talk. And the ladies are the worst. Mm-hmm. Like they're worse than the males. It's tough. So I'm just telling you right now, make sure we're gonna be with the group. We're gonna walk in together. Mm-hmm. And then after that, get to your seats and enjoy the game. Don't be scared or nothing like that. We just saying they rough. They rough. They rough out there. They rough. But there are different levels of it. And just make sure you're just as emotionally competent as can be. Because you're in their home, and they're going to talk trash. Like they're going to talk trash. And
when I went
for the game, mm-hmm. during the game,
right.
and after the game,
yeah.
win or lose, they talking trash.
They also have like a very rickety stadium. Like their stadium is just not it. And so the first time, when I went, not this last year, but the year before that, when we played them, seriously, they were literally like calling me, like trash. And I said, no, what's trash is your stadium. That's what's trash. You need to clean it up. Maybe they need to hire you to sweep. Because I've never been in a stadium where I literally had to like sweep it before I could even sit my butt down. So they come at you, I come right back at them. Like I said, they ain't nobody gonna do nothing too crazy. But this right here, oh, go ahead, you can say whatever you gotta say. But if we win, oh yeah, they're really gonna hate me too. So it's gonna be ugly because payback is gonna be harsh because they are a trip. But no, I'm not afraid of anyone. Like I said, there's not much I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of a bunch of people that do this right here. You can say that you hope my plane goes down. You can say all that stuff that you said to Miss Warner. I don't care about that. It's as long as you don't try to reach out a hand. Because if you reach out a hand, you might pull back a nub. which is, so. Other than that. Ooh.
It's going to be crazy. But listen.
Of course.
Most importantly, it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be totally different from the NFC Championship game. The Niners are pretty much in full throttle. They got all the players just about, minus the two safeties that are out for the season, and Talanoa Hufanga and George Odom. But they got their quarterback, right? Like, their quarterback is back. Yep. Like, I think that's most important. Thinking about this game, I didn't think about this, and I think somebody brought it up earlier show today. You think Brock may be experiencing any PTSD heading into Philly? As far as like stepping out onto that field, do you think that could play a factor in his play at some point in the game? What do you guys think?
I agree with what you said on no harm, no foul. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that he's ready for this. I think that he's ready for this challenge. I think mentally he feels like that he left so much out there by getting hurt that he could have accomplished. And I literally do not think that he has any type of PTSD whatsoever. I just don't. I think that he's ready, that he's mentally had all this time to prepare for this. So, no, I don't.
Mose, let me ask you a slightly different question. In the Seattle Seahawks game, did you notice like a slight difference in Brock's play in that second half compared to like the first half until he made that like big throw Like, did it seem like something was different? Like, he wasn't throwing the ball as well? Do you think there's something going on with Brock Purdy? Or do you think that was just a show or whatever?
Yeah, I think against Seattle, I think that was a isolated incident. I think in the first half, we had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. I think in the second half, obviously, Seattle is a good team. They have a pretty good defense. So I think they mix some things up, both coverage-wise and with their rush. And we had to adjust to it. Purdy had to adjust to it. You know, I think the pass that he threw that was intercepted, you know, was a little bit behind. I think he was trying to get it out quick because the rush was coming, kind of threw it behind. CMC got a hand on it, and it just tipped and landed in Jordan Brooks' hands. But, you know, after that, you know, he kind of settled in. We kind of figured out what they were doing, cleaned up our protections a little bit, and he was solid. So I think, you know, for him, for the offense, for the defense, and for Kyle Shanahan, I think one of the things that I focus on is not just starting fast, but maintaining that throughout the entirety of the game. We understand that there's going to be ebbs and flows, but I think for me, too often, I see this team take the foot off the gas when they feel like the game is in hand. And yeah, we played well enough defense where the only touchdown this team scored was a defensive touchdown because of great field position. They did not score an offensive touchdown, right? We're not playing a team that is not going to not score an offensive touchdown unless we just play lights out defensively. If we play lights out defensively and hold this team to not score an offensive touchdown, we're winning this game
easily.
But this team has the weapons, has the offensive scheme to put points up on the board. So I think, you know, if we get a lead or even if it's back and forth, we got to keep our foot on the gas. But to answer your first question and piggyback off of what you said earlier and what Peachy just said now, I don't think that he has any PTSD. One, Brock is a gamer, and I think coming into this game, you know, he wants to prove to himself, he wants to prove to the Eagles, he wants to prove to, you know, the fan base, for both the 49ers and the NFL around the world, what couldn't happen when I'm healthy for this entire game. Put me in this big situation. Put me in a game with what you perceive to be the best team in the league on their home field, and let me duel with my guys and see what the outcome is. So I think more than anything, I think he's just excited for the opportunity to be back with this team, with the weapons that he has, to go out and show yet again what he's made of.
It's funny you said that. I don't think he has to prove anything to the Eagles, honestly. He's going to go out there and just make sure he's 100% ready to go for his team. I think that's all that matters. I think the reason why I said what I said was because Brock just has a different type of mindset. Each week he steps onto the football field, it's a new plan, and he's ready to, like, take it on. He's ready to take on the challenge. I do understand that he was injured by Hassan Reddick in the NFC Championship game very early in the game on a fluke play, right? Like a fluke play. It was just his arm just happened to get hit. Like, you know what I'm saying? He could have got hit anywhere else in the body.
Right.
But he got hit in the arm. And to the elbow. Yep. And then it after that, you know, we saw the hit. Mose and I saw it, like, in living color. And we didn't even think it was a bad injury until he didn't come in the game. That's what happened. Mose, Nick, and myself, and our boy that was with us, we thought that he was, like, injured because he didn't come back into the game. We didn't even see the injury like y'all saw it on TV. So, look, Brock gonna be Brock. If Brock just Brock, like, I just don't see how a team, other than if they mix things up and they kind of change the way he's starting to process things, which the Eagles have a great defense, so I don't want to take that away from them. And so I do expect that. But Brock is surrounded by great support, and all he has to do is get the ball to his guys. And, you know, you saw all the smack talk earlier today and things like that. And before we get into that, Val Brooks says, what did they say to Mrs. Warner? I mean, they said a lot of hurtful things, but the most hurtful thing was that they hoped that her plane crashed. Like, I don't know how you could say that to a human being, period.
Right.
I don't know how a human being can say that to a human being. I wouldn't even say that to an animal.
So on Instagram, in her comments, because she put this on Instagram as well in her comments, and people were saying that they heard them tell her that they hope that her baby dies, which, thank goodness, it didn't, because we know they had their baby. But I hope your baby dies. I hope all this, you know, it was just all these different things that they were saying. Like, I get it why she doesn't, you know, want to attend that. Like, I totally understand that. It's really disgusting. Even my son thought it was disgusting. He goes, man, that's like, I don't, you know, those kind of people, we don't claim them kind of people. Like, you don't go around saying horrible things like that. Because one, a lot of times when you do that, karma comes back on you when you do that. I mean, we see what happened to the Cowboys radio host, you know, who was saying that he wanted Christian McCaffrey to, like, break his leg or tear it or whatever happened. We see what happened in that to Tony Pollard. Like, whenever we played them. Like, you just have to be careful with karma. Like, you can't just be talking, you know, and
yeah, but people don't, they don't
stuff.
Care about karma.
Well, I know that.
So you, and people are intoxicated, and people, and this is not an excuse, but yes. At the end of the day, people are going to say stuff. So, if you're, like, here's the thing. If you're just not able to handle that stuff, it's best to stay home.
Right.
So, for her, it's best to stay home. It doesn't mean she's scared, but why put yourself through any of the stress? And at the end of the day, that stuff is just wrong. Like I said, the plane crash thing, come on, man, that's sensitive, right?
That was,
the baby
that was
thing,
enough,
that's super sensitive. Like, who says stuff like that? But these are fans.
Yeah.
These are fans of their team.
Fred is compartmentalizing all this, trust me. Like, he's been quiet, but I promose you he's thinking about all this when he
of
gets
course.
Out there on that field, though.
Of course. Of course. And look, is. Fred just got to continue to be the best defensive player on
that's
the field.
Right.
Like, he normally is. Like, I wouldn't expect anything less. But Val, I hope that answered your question. That's kind of like some of the things that they were saying about Mrs. Warner at
she
that time.
She said that there was, like, a bunch of other things that she was not going to talk about. So knowing them and the stuff that I heard the first time I went, just in passing, as in walking, like, it wouldn't surprise me of anything that comes out of their mouth.
Yeah. And Sim, you're right. I'm a Mets fan. The Philly fans are terrible. I'm a Celtics fan. The 76er fans are terrible. I'm a Boston Bruins fan. The Flyer fan. Like, it's their city. It's when it comes to sports, it's a different breed of fanning. Like that. Like, they are a different breed of fanning. would Jack say? And I mean super sensitive, breezy. So you're right. What? She's mean, super sensitive.
No, you said, like, talking about, you know, the baby thing, it is super sensitive.
Yeah.
So she's agreeing with you. She said, I mean, super sensitive.
Like, it's just right. But these are those fans. Like, this is the stuff that they dig deep. And it be women, it be children. The men are actually decent.
The grown men.
Right.
It be them teenage to 25-year-olds.
It'd be that 17 to 26.
Yes, sir. There it is.
Age.
I say 13 to 26. Yep.
Okay,
I'm going 13
to 26. Because, listen, I might wear a belt this weekend just in case somebody under the age of 18 get out of line.
I'm just going to grab a switch off the tree.
I'm over my lap and I'm going.
Nah, I'm not going to use my belt. They're not worth my leather, but I'll grab one of them switches off them trees as we walking into that stadium and swip to get Jesus whipped out there. Like, real talk. But no, seriously, like it's going to be a great time. I'm just excited because I just really feel like this 49ers team, the past 3 weeks we've been watching this team play, and they've just been getting better and better. And that's the scary part. So, like, they're trending up. Whereas we thought they hit a rock, and if they had lost that game in Jacksonville, we was going to have some serious repercussions and some conversations. Yeah. But they decided to turn a whole nother page. They played the best we've seen them play, and they've just been trending upwards, and they've been doing it on the road, right? And that's where we normally worry. It's funny, when the 49ers travel East Coast, they're pretty darn good, right? And here's the thing. When I'm looking at the 49ers coming into this game, I'm saying to myself, yo, all they got to do is stick to the game plan and what they've been doing. I know you watched the Bills game, and I know y'all saw the Bills, and I know y'all said to yourself, oh, man, we could beat this team. We could beat this team easily. And we're going to get into that. I want to get your three weaknesses offensively and defensively. So that's what you guys will present to the crowd, to the community on today. But before we get into that, man, it's Victory Monday, and I know it sounds weird because we played on Thursday, but the Nitty Gritty Crew didn't really get a chance to celebrate victory Monday. They beat the living dog snot out of the Seattle Seahawks in their home, 31-13. All right, the 49ers are first place in the NFC West at 8-3, and they hold the second seed currently in the NFC. And that, to me, my friends, is what makes this game even more important.
Yes.
Right? Even for both sides. But the Niners are technically, even though they're the 2.5-point favorites, they're still technically the underdogs. And so if they continue to play like underdogs, man, sky's the limit. They could do some things against this team.
That's right.
But we definitely want to celebrate the team in their last victory. Niners 3-game win streak. Eagles on a 5-game win streak. So both teams are pretty hot. The Eagles are kind of, you know, they're still the hottest team in football.
Yeah,
let me ask you, who's hotter, the Eagles or the Broncos?
True. Hey, man, it's like I told you. Denver? What? That's crazy. The Broncos they crawled out from under the...
They both have 5-game win streaks, just to point that out.
And before somebody says who they played, they played the Chiefs. And they beat the Chiefs.
That's where it started, right?
Right. It started with the Chiefs, and
it didn't start with the Chiefs. It was the week before that?
Oh, sorry.
Started with the Packers.
Packers.
Got you. Green Bay. But the Chiefs, I mean, beating this Chiefs
Well, that's
team,
where it started for me. Like, I didn't care about the Packers.
Right. And then their ascension is just, man.
They're ascending.
They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. They beat the Vikings, who were red hot.
Yes.
So, wait.
They beat the Browns, who got the number one defense.
Yes.
Hold on. So, the Broncos beat the Chiefs and the Bills. Mm-hmm. That's crazy because so did Philly.
And the Browns.
Wow.
It's
a weird league, man.
They're on something. Sean Payton, I tell you, boy, he just, I don't know.
It's a weird league.
Beware of Denver because they're on a hot, hot streak right now.
Yeah, it's a weird league, Dre.
It's
a weird league. Wow. It's funny because, you know, you watch this. The Eagles, to me, are the hottest team. They got the best record in the NFL, and they've beat, like, going through their gauntlet. Like, they've beat some tough teams back-to-back.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And so when I'm sitting here looking at the Eagles, and I'm watching them, I'm like, yo, like, how do they continue to win? And I think what the Niners need to do is figure out how to take them out of the game. And not make it close. And that, to me, is where the Niners are going to struggle. And I'm with Mo's at the beginning of the show. He said they need to figure out a way to keep their feet on the gas or keep their foot on the gas. Because the Niners will go into halftime with like a 14-10 lead, right? Let's just say it's 14-10. And then that's where it can change. A silly turnover, anything.
Yes. A bad penalty.
Something that throws them out of rhythm. And the next thing you know, you give Jalen Hurts the ball. They take chances. You know who Nick Sirianni. They're going to take some shots. They're going to go for it on 4th-and-1. They're going to do some things. And that is where it can turn the tide, right? And so, like, the Niners got to figure out how to come out, punch them in the mouth early. And they could start by using this man. Congratulations, CMC, who was nominated for Week 12's FedEx Ground Player of the Week.
Up right now for FedEx Ground Player of the Year.
All right, so those
He's
awards
definitely
gonna be
a nominee for that.
Well, he'll win that because if he gets this, this will be his fourth.
That's what I'm saying. Like if he wins this, and I don't see why he wouldn't because his touchdowns, because he got 2 touchdowns in this one.
Speaking of CMC,
that he's definitely a shoe-in for that.
Real quick, going around this table, the CMC. Become a 1,000-yard rusher after this Philadelphia Eagles game.
Yes.
Yes.
Hell yes. He needs 64 yards.
Right.
Or something
he
like
just
that.
Needs 64 yards.
Listen, he's gonna get 61. He's gonna get that on one carry.
Right.
I feel an explosive.
I feel
an explosive. He'll get tackled, but I feel an explosive like play.
Because let's talk about CMC since we already on him.
Yeah, because that's what we're doing.
Okay.
In the same way that Debo and Ayuk feel like they couldn't get into a rhythm, CMC really couldn't get into a rhythm because we saw the big run that he had.
Touchdown.
When we weren't aware of what was going on with Brock Purdy, he had a big run where he broke like three or four tackles on the way to the end zone that kept the game close. I think it was tied 7-7 after he scored that touchdown.
Yeah, it was 7-7.
So like he couldn't even build upon that as the game progressed with us being able to pass the ball downfield, picking up first downs, the use of play action. So like imagine him now having his quarterback healthy for the entire game, him being able to really get into a rhythm. And if you get CMC into a rhythm and the Eagles can't figure out how to stop him in the run or in the pass, then what are they going to do with everybody else? Mm-hmm. Then we throw in Debo. Then we throw in Ayuk. Then we throw in Kittle. Don't let us get really fancy and throw in juice.
I'm hearing you. For a game like this, I need Brock Purdy. First of all, what I'm seeing from Brock is stuff I haven't seen from any other quarterback under Kyle Shanahan. And what do I mean by that? He ain't listening to the head coach. And what do I mean by that? Well, he going for the gut. He looking for the touchdown. He looking for the big throw, the touchdown, the man, F the check down. That's going to be something that's Brock Purdy. Like, yo, I trust my man. And you see that fourth quarter touchdown to Brandon Ayuk between four defenders, three DBs, two safeties.
What a dot.
And it was just a dot to where he didn't even get touched.
Right.
He was supposed to check it down, though, according to head coach Kyle Shanahan, which CMC was wide open for 10 yards. But do you want the 10 yards or do you want the touchdown? That's the processing.
The home run, yeah.
That I didn't see that from James, Brian Hoyer, name some other, Colin Kaepernick, Trey Lance would go for the big throws. Right. But he ain't getting enough opportunities to show us what he was going to be able to do. Yeah. But I didn't see, like what I'm saying is he's taking good risks, right? And that's cool because I always said, like, will we get a quarterback that's going to take a shot, take a chance? Yes. Does he trust his receivers? So that's good from Brock because you know what's going to happen in this game? They're going to try to confuse the hell out of him. They're going to try to take away Brock's rhythm early. And that's why we got to figure out how to rely on CMC and get CMC acclimated and involved, get him running to the outside, mix in some Mitchell to the inside. If we can go power, which I watched, if we can go outside zone, which I watched Buffalo do too, this team will give up rushing yards. Why throw the ball if you could just run the ball all the way down their throat?
You can run it. Yeah.
So CMC, to me, it starts with CMC. They got to find a way to activate his X factor early. I'm going to go and say he's going to have an explosive run. Hasn't had one over probably 20 yards since week three, maybe. But he's definitely getting 10 plus yards, 12 plus yards, things like that, 15, Debo. And don't be surprised, man, because Debo's going to run into the outside too. This is going to be a game. It's going to be a game where I feel like the Niners, the team with the strongest will, whoever comes out there and sets the will, sets the tone, and forces that, that's how this game is going to end up being. So this is gonna be fun to watch, but it starts with CMC. You got to get him acclimated. I feel like in this particular game, in this particular matchup, he's the key. Right. He's the key. All right. So congratulations to CMC. He's nominated for the FedEx. We do got to talk about the George Odom injury, torn bicep on the IR. He's gonna be out. Believe the report said 2 to 4 months. And so there's a possibility he could return for the playoffs. But the Niners right now are pretty thin at safety. Mo's Peachy, what are we going to do? I know we're working some players out. We'll talk about them in a second. Mm-hmm. But internally, what are we going to do? Internally, Jair Brown is there, the rookie. Taylor Hawkins, does he get a nod up? I'm curious to know how we're going to continue to build that depth because it's being depleted as we speak.
I think that the 49ers, one, I think Taylor Hawkins will be brought up. I'm pretty sure that he'll be brought up.
Okay.
This, like you're going to talk about the guys that we worked out today, but it's possible, you know, one of them could be, but I know Hawkins will because he's been, you know, around the system and everything for while now. So,
all right. Is there any other players like that you feel like might be able to fulfill the depth role, Mose? And then I do want to ask you a question about Hawkins and how do you feel? You know, he'll be able to be brought up. Would it be special teams? And then, like, an emergency, like, if something went down, he has no choice but to go in. But, like, what are your thoughts on Hawkins?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been here. I think we've seen some positive things from him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you bring him up, he's going to be an emergency guy if, for whatever reason, Jair or T. Gip goes down. But you're really bringing him up to replace what Odom was on special teams. Now, obviously, Odom mm-hmm. is... for no pun intended, he's a special teams player.
All pro.
But we've also had issues in that area. So, you know, while it might be nice to, you know, find a veteran that is out there, I don't know how game ready they would be. To whereas at least I know Hawkins has been here. He's been in the building. He's been on the practice squad. He knows, you know, at least what we're trying to do. Both defensively, if he needs to play, and more importantly, in the special teams aspect. So for an area that has kind of been weak for us, I'd rather us go with somebody that we know, that's a known commodity, rather than just, you know, bringing in, you know, a random veteran. Because if there is one way, and I know there are many, if there is one way this Eagles team can stay in the game, make big plays, and kind of swing momentum if it comes to it, it's going to be on special teams. You know, Britton Covey is probably a name not a lot of people know in the chat. Short little guy, one of those quicker than fast guys, but he's very elusive, and he gets positive yards both in the kick return and punt return game. So I think it should be Taylor Hawkins, and just have him ready to go for special teams purposes mainly.
Now, listen, there's no tread to the tart. You know, it was just a discussion that I wanted to put out there, like, and things like that. I mean, but they're not even interested in him. They're not talking to him. At least they haven't reported it as of yet. I feel like, what would your thoughts be on bringing back a familiar face that has some stuff? They have the Tarts available. I believe Tarvarius Moore is available. These are guys that have played safety. Tarvarius Moore would be great on special teams as a gunner, but they haven't reached out to him as of, we haven't heard in the report. But what would your thoughts be on trying to bring one of those guys back with, you know, Tart might not want to play special teams, but Tarvarius Moore may.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Are they willing to come back to this team knowing that they're coming back in a limited role, right? You know, Jaquaski Tart was a starter here for, you know, many, many years. Obviously, the way he left the team wasn't in the best of light. So is he going to want to come back as a potential backup for Brown or Gibson and mainly play special teams? I think we'll have a better chance of pulling that off with somebody like Tarvarius Moore. Because he played special teams for us. He was a gunner for us. I mean, he did really well in that area. But again, sometimes, you know, when players leave the organization, especially if they've been there a couple of years, you know, they felt like they were, you know, building something special with the organization, the coaching staff, the teammates there, and, you know, their contracts aren't renewed or they aren't re-signed. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of bad blood there. So, you know, are these guys willing to come back at the price that we're willing to pay? And that the role that they're going to have to play, which is primarily, you know, special teams without any real chance to, you know, move into a starting position. One, because you haven't been with the team. We have guys that are already here that know the system. And, you know, just because you're coming in week 12, you can't just come in week 12, week 13 and be promised a starting spot just because you have one good week of practice.
That's a good point. Good point. I wouldn't expect any of these guys that we're about to talk about. So the 49ers worked out a bunch of DBs on today. Anthony Averett, Ennis Gaines, Kimon Hall, Eric Harris, Carl Joseph, Terrence Mitchell, Will Parks, and then A.J. Thomas. Now, Terrence Mitchell and Anthony Averett were with the team earlier this year. They did bring in those guys. I do have, and let's start with the two. Let's start with the cornerback. So Anthony Averett would be a cornerback. 4.36 speed, 5.11, probably a good nickel, 185 pounds. Came in, got put on the IR. They did the injury settlement. This is all business. This is so funny how this stuff works, right? And the 49ers were able to go. He became a free agent. Now he was with the team earlier, and now he's going to probably be brought back for a workout. Same thing with Terrence Mitchell. These two guys, another 5'11", 191, 4.63 speed from Oregon, was drafted in 2014 by the Cowboys, seventh-round pick. Again, sound like the status of these guys sound like nickelbacks or whatever. They did let go of Shamar John Charles, so maybe they're over that, and they'll probably be signing one of these two corners. I know a lot of people wanted Jason Verrett, but for some reason, Jason Verrett worked out. But, Kyle Shanahan said that, hey, we do what we would like to bring him back. But, I mean, he's cautious. We'll talk about Jason in another second. Kemal Hall, another quarterback, drafted in 2019. I don't see any NFL. All right, there we go. All right. So, yeah, he has some stats under him back in 2021. with the Chargers. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm just like, I mean, they're nothing special, right? They might just be special teamers, but they're nothing special. And then there were four safeties. So there were four safeties that they looked at as well. Eric Harris, Carl Joseph, Will Parks, and then A.J. Thomas. So they're looking to fill in those spots we talked about, replenish some of those spots on the practice squad and things like that. So the Niners, I think they have two open spots. They look like they're going to be bringing back. They're going to be bringing one of these guys into some of these practice squad spots. Let's talk about Jason Verrett really quick. So what are your thoughts on Verrett? If he is able to return, right, how you guys feel about that? Apparently, if the Niners are willing to sign him.
Apparently, like, I thought we brought in Verrett that he was ready to roll. And apparently not, because I would think that the 49ers would, have already just, taken care of business on him. The fact that they're saying, we're definitely keeping him in mind. He's some, that speak just leads me to believe that he must not be as ready as I thought that he probably was. Okay. That's what I took from that.
All right, cool. Mose, did you have a different take on it? Because I do want to.
Yeah, slightly different. I think there is a few things, and I think it has to do with who's on our roster. I think we're seeing better play from Ambry Thomas. Mm-hmm. One, I think he's been trusted a lot more in the past few weeks. Now, yes, it may be due to injury, but Demo and Mooney aren't hurt. Mm-mm. And he's been getting snaps on the outside, and we've moved Demo into the slot. And then we've gotten Womack and Luter Jr. back. I think we've seen a lot of Luter Jr. on special teams. He's been, really, really active out there in his first, snaps of action. And we know when Womack is healthy, he's somebody who could play really, really well for us. We do have Isaiah Oliver. He kind of moonlights as our nickel. I think if we need to, he could play a little bit of a safety. So that's another option for us. If we don't want him in the cornerback spot, let's try him on the back end if need be, as like an emergency safety type. We have six guys. So if you're looking to bring somebody in, you're looking to bring them in either via the practice squad, or somebody additional body that can help you on special teams. So if, like Peachy's saying, if Verrett isn't 100%, I don't think there's any reason to bring him in and wait for him to get healthy. I think if you just need, a body now that can run, is healthy, and give you something on special teams, I think you go after and you find that guy, just because, the guys that we have been stepping up and playing really well.
Very well said. And we got some breaking news per Ian Rappaport, a.k.a. at Rap Sheet. Free agent safety Eric Harris is expected to sign with the San Francisco 49ers practice squad. We were just talking about it, and I said they're going to get one of these safeties. They're going to get one of these safeties. They went with Eric Harris, which is cool because I have his stuff pulled up right here. Let's see, 2022 was the last time I got some things recorded from him. He was drafted by the New Orleans Saints in 2016. He's 6'2", 225. Let's see, he played week 1, 2, and 8 that particular year. Nothing in 2023. I'm just going to look at his stats. 4 tackles, 1 assisted, so that's 5. He had stop at the backfield. You know, he's a safety, so they're going to give up the completions pretty much. 4 for 4. The longest he's given up, though, was 12. He's given up net 19 yak yards. Here's an interesting, no penalties. He doesn't have any interceptions, and he can line up in other spots on the field. He can go in the box. He can get on the line. He can line up at nickel. He can play outside. So, yeah. This is they got a safety for the practice squad. So this alludes to what we were saying earlier that, you know, maybe Taylor Hawkins gets a bump up to the active roster. And speaking of active roster, let's talk about Robert Beale Jr., who's been activated from the IR. Okay.
More speed.
Okay. And guess what? He's on the active 53.
Yes.
Because he's taken the place of George Odom's spot, who just got sent to the IR. So now I have questions.
Yes.
I have questions. I have questions. I have questions. I got a question. And here's the thing, right? Because I'm looking at the Niners defense and I'm saying to myself, oh my gosh, like, where is this kid going to fit in? Where is he going to fit in? Whose spot is he taking? Who are they going to send down? And someone asked me, does this mean this is the end of Cleveland Farrell? And I said, there's no way you can end Cleveland Farrell's career with the San Francisco 49ers. Like, no way, Jose, because the dude's been balling. Like, the dude's been actively getting pressures and things like that. So I don't think Cleveland Farrell is going to be the end of him. My question is, where does this kid go? Where are you going to be able to put him on this roster? How's he going to dress up? Where's he going to get snaps in? I think that's more importantly what I'm trying to ask, because I got 19 from Farrell. I got 18 from Gregory, and I got 18 from Chase Young. And then, obviously, Nick Bosa had 36. Those are your edge rushers. You're adding in another edge rusher. What are we going to do? How are we going to use them? Let's go with Moles and then Peachy.
So, lately, we've been doing this three linebacker thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Oren Burks thing, right?
Mm-hmm. This kid got speed.
Yes.
What if we take Oren Burks off the field?
Yes.
I don't know, man. He's been every time.
I'm just saying, not all the time. Yeah. You know, second and short. If third and short, where the run is a possibility, we keep Oren Burks on the field. And because he's coming off IR, he's getting his first type of action. What if we get into some third and long situations, third and 8?
Okay. You preaching. You preaching.
We take Oren Burks off the field, insert Robert Beale, and say, bro, I don't need you to think about nothing.
Right.
You're not dropping in the coverage. Mm. You ain't doing nothing crazy. Go get the passer. Because it's already wild when you got Chase Young and Nick Bosa. What side are you double teaming? Cool. Whatever side you're trying to double team, that's what side Robert Beale comes from.
But I like it. That's dope, right? Or you could change up other stuff too. Like, you could change up the defensive line and push them on the inside, like a Chase.
Oh, you talking about a NASCAR pack?
Okay, so now I'm going with speed.
You talking about Cleveland Farrell? Chase Young, Nick Bosa,
and then
Robert Beale.
Yeah, and here's why. You're playing Jalen Hurts, my brother and my sister.
Yes.
And you know what Robert Beale can do as well as get the quarterback? Contain the edge. Little behind can contain.
Yes.
And he has the speed, if he breaks containment, to catch up.
To catch him. Mm-hmm. And this would be the perfect game for him to play in, because he
writes a passage to the NFL, bro.
Not even that. damn near his whole defense is on the other team. Jordan Davis.
I'm the Georgia Bulldog. I'm the King That's Kong right. ain't got shit on me.
His whole damn defense is on the other side.
Yep.
You got Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis,
yo,
Kelee awesome. Ringo, N'Kobe Dean. Like,
yes, that's all of them.
The Philadelphia Bulldogs over there. So now he like, yeah, they was good, but I was five star coming out of high school. I was the one that made Nolan Smith great.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard much from Nolan Smith this year.
Nah, he was dealing with injuries. At the beginning of the year, and even though he went highly drafted, it was Robert Bill Jr. that was the guy in Georgia, mm-hmm. so that you know Nolan Smith can kind of shine. So he's like, I'm just hoping he's active,
right.
And like you said, you don't put too much on his plate. PG, did you want to add anything to Robert Bill Jr. and how they
I
might
really
use
think
him?
That he did a good job. I just want to say, I feel the need for speed.
Yeah. I agree. Like this is when we drafted this kid, all I kept saying was speed. I kept saying speed,
mm-hmm.
like not the drug, but speed. Literally speed, like speed. Like this dude can run. Right. And here's the thing, right? Like containing in this game is number one. Yes. I know we want to sack the quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if there were only a couple of sacks in this game.
Right.
For me, I don't want the sacks. I want to not let Jalen Hurts.
What happened at the end of that Buffalo game?
Quarterback draw 12 yards times in a row, 5 times 12. Dude had like 80, 90 yards.
Oh. So
like
crazy.
At the end of the game, like that can't happen because that is what he's going to do. He's going to quarterback draw it,
mm-hmm.
bump you team. I got this, man. I see space, but that's the thing. See, and that's what it doesn't worry me about the Niners. We play wide nine, so that means their splits are wide, right? And I'm wondering if the Niners are like, yeah, mother trucker, go ahead and try it. I dare you. I feel like that's the Niners. I want you to run up the middle. You're going to get cracked by somebody. And maybe after the first time he do it, and he's going to get 4 yards, he'll probably make a business decision and not mm-hmm. do it again. but I do like the speed on the edge. Mm-hmm. And only though, Mo's, like you said, when it's like a third and 11, third and 12, like when you just got to get to the quarterback. Go get the quarterback. Just go get him. So I do like the NASCAR package. It's going to be fun to watch, but we'll see what happens. But he is activated. The Niners did activate him, which means that he will not be put on IR for the rest of the season because his window was closing. So we got Darrell Luter Jr., who, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, he saved a touchdown in this game, like in the Seahawks game. I don't know if y'all peeped it, but like he saved the touchdown. So Darrell Luter Jr., Samuel Womack III was finally activated again. He's back up. You know, he was good to go. And now you're going to get Robert Bill Jr. 49ers, man. The way they're doing this stuff in baby steps
right,
is crazy.
Exactly. Just like you said earlier, Breezy, I forgot what show you said it on, but you were talking about like when they first entered their 21-day window, whatever. You're like, watch. They will like eventually become active and it'll be like just at the right time. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah. Right. And that's because the way the Niners, they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing we've been asking them to do. I mean, we got a couple of players that are going to be done for the season here or there, but they're healthy. Like, and guys, it's week 13. Oh my God. It's week 13. We get through this game, we go back home, we play the Turds again, then we play the Cardinals, back-to-backs, right? And then, they go on the road to play Arizona. And then they got the freaking Ravens. This is a crazy, weird schedule. Crazy, weird schedule.
Right.
But they got the Birds, for sure. Birds, for sure. All right, good news, Spencer Burford back at practice. That means that which is good because when I tell you I did not like John Feliciano on the right side as much as I loved him on the left side, but he definitely could be a swing. So if Burford is back, Burford is healthy, the 49ers starting offensive line will be up to take on the challenge of that defensive front of the Philadelphia Eagles. So Spencer Burford is back at practice, and let's get down to this game plan because we need to be out of here in the next 15 minutes. All right? So game plan. Niners. Eagles. What you guys got for me? Let's go with Peachy first.
Okay. The game plan? Like you said earlier on the Wayne Breezy Show, we definitely need to run the football. Mm-hmm. And speaking of run the football, like one of my weaknesses that I have right now, let me just bring it up at the same time while I'm talking about running the football. We need to have variety in running the football. We can't just use CMC to do whatever because Philly is a smart team. They're going to catch on to that. Like we are going to have to at least utilize Mitchell, if nothing else, or even Mason for that point. Like we've got to show variety in this run game or Debo, you know, but we have to show some variety or juice. I mean, just whoever it is.
I don't want to see Juice running the ball.
We definitely have to. I also want to see the 49ers be very aggressive in this game. I want them to, like, if you're in like a 4th-and-2 situation, go for it. If you're in a 4th, I mean, you have to use aggression against a team like this because their coach is very aggressive. So, and it doesn't matter what side of the field he's on. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, rarely, if it's like a 4th-and-1 or a 4th-and-2, does he punt the ball. Like, he will go for it, whether he gets it or not. I don't know the stats on all that. All I know is that I need the 49ers to be very aggressive in this game. I feel like, in my opinion, that Kyle already has like a really good game plan for this game. I feel like that he had a game plan for this game before the Seattle game. I feel like he's had one for a while. And I feel like that his best stuff, I feel like it's going to come out this week. Some people said that he was in his bag against Seattle. I think he's going to be in his bag in this game. There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in this game that nobody's seen before. I know they had Debo that tried to get something going in Seattle when he was quarterback, and it didn't work out. But I feel like that Kyle's also been watching a lot of college, and I feel like that people have been sending him stuff. And we all know that Kyle loves to see like what has worked in the past for different teams, be it college or NFL. I see some very interesting stuff happening in this game. So I see the 49ers using some of the things that Philly does well against them in this game also. So, but the most important thing in this game plan, like we got to be able to run the football. You just got to figure it out. Like I said, whether you CMC with Debo or CMC with whoever, but it can't just be McCaffrey. Like we have to get this run game going. I feel like that'll be easier with Burford back. That will help on that side over there. That seems to be the weakest. I feel like that will definitely help. Now it's not looked as bad. It's definitely looked a whole lot better. So we just got to keep that going. And as long as his blocks stay up without penalties, without holding, but just blocking the way they're supposed to, that to me is key to this game because that opens up the pass. That opens up the lanes for Brock to be able to do what he does and to just, you know, do that for the game. That's all I got to say.
All right, so run the ball, variety.
Yes.
That ain't going to happen. But run the ball.
But it needs to.
I don't know if it needs to. I don't know why people keep saying that it needs to, it needs to, it needs to. I don't get it. We've been winning without that. We need two running backs. That's what Kyle's using. It's two. It was Jordan Mason at the beginning of the year because Elijah Mitchell wasn't ready. Now it's Elijah Mitchell because he's back and he's healthy, so Jordan Mason got pushed down on the depth chart. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to see Jordan Mason, right. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. At this point, we're winning, we're running, and I think last week, This is the first time Christian McCaffrey had over 100 yards in several weeks since the loss to Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. So I know people, I mean, he's not being overutilized. I mean, 19 carries. What are we talking about here? So it's not a lot for him, but it's supposed to rain. And so they definitely need to run the ball. I don't know about the variety. I don't know if Kyle cares about variety. It's just going to be those two. And as far as Juice, he's not a running back. So let's cut the shit. That ain't who he is. Now we know what he is. We know he's a weapon.
Right.
He's not a running back. I don't want to see Juice on 4th-and-1s. I don't want to see Juice on 3rd-and-1s. Now, I don't mind if he go out and catch a wheel route. I would love to see Juice be utilized more in the passing game. But as far as running the ball, it ain't happening. That ain't him. It's cool. I'm cool with it. But the penalties, I'm with you 100%. They got a good game last game. 3 penalties, yeah. 20 yards.
Very
I think
good.
They were all on the offense, though. That's not good.
They were. Every single one of them.
That's not good. That's not good. And then what was the last thing you said? Oh, like trick plays or something, stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised, Peachy, if we see a Niners tush push. I don't want to see the tush push.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the one thing you said. Or the Philly special. What was the Philly special, Mose?
Yes.
What was that? It was a run by, I can't remember what the Philly special was.
It was like a handoff to the tight end. He passed it back to the quarterback.
What? Yeah, that's
like
a lot.
Handoff to the tight. It was like a handoff to the tight end.
It was something.
Who then turned around and threw it back to the quarterback.
Yeah, it got back to the quarterback because the quarterback was the one that got the touchdown. Threw it for the touchdown.
My brother Moses is. He in the chat. He says, "Just be aggressive. Be aggressive." Now, yeah, that was another thing.
There's
you want
been
us to be aggressive.
Like a lot of like when I was watching Red Zone yesterday, like I saw a lot of things, and I think that Hanson brought it up like during the Red Zone broadcast that, you know, that it seems like that a lot of these coaches are gonna go back to college to try to find, you know, new stuff that they can use. It wouldn't surprise me to see some of the stuff that we saw in college football over the last couple of weeks that Kyle uses. Like, he's gonna have to do something to throw them off. Like, I really see something crazy coming in this game that nobody expects, and definitely do.
Interesting game plan from Peachy Mose. What's your game plan, fam?
I think it's a lot of the same stuff, but I think, like Peachy said, running the ball effectively to open up the pass. This Eagles defense is ranked 26th in pass defense.
Yeah.
So they are susceptible.
Mm-hmm. Take advantage of their safeties, man. That's what we did last week.
One of the things that I kept thinking about is I keep going back to 2019. And I keep going back to a late season matchup that no matter what the point differential or the spread was, a lot of people had us losing that game. And we came out and we did so many new and different things to just stay in the game, and it became a shootout. But that was the game against the Saints. We were a young team.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo coming back off of injury leading us. Yeah, we had won some games. But surely we couldn't go into New Orleans and get a win against Drew Brees and that high-powered offense.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan opened the playbook so wide open that we saw things that we were like, whoa, what is happening? We got passes from E-Man to Mostert for touchdowns and all of this other kind of crazy stuff. If there's any game for Kyle Shanahan to justify not opening up the playbook, not giving, you know, not putting too much on film for other teams to see, if there's any game Kyle can say I was holding it for, it should be this one. Because when you get to the playoffs, everything is condensed anyway. You're worried about not making mistakes. You're worried about limiting time of possession.
Yeah.
So you can go crazy now and then just have a completely different game plan, because if it works and you win, then when you see them again in the playoffs, if you see them again in the playoffs, they're going to be looking for all of that fancy stuff, and you could just punch them in the mouth with – your base stuff, right? So if there's any game Kyle can justify holding off for and holding back for, it should be this game right here. I don't care about the Ravens on Christmas Day. Okay, it's this one. The Ravens in a whole nother conference. I don't care what happened. Mm-hmm. It's this one.
Yep.
So I think we run the ball. We utilize play action. I don't respect, not as people, and they made it to the NFL, so they get a level of respect there. But when we're talking about matchups, I do not respect their linebackers against George Kittle. I do not respect their safeties against George Kittle. And if there's a game for George Kittle, because of just who he is and his energy on the field, mm-hmm. for him to produce at a level where that other team is like, bro, how do we stop this guy and try to figure out how to stop everybody else? Again, this to me is a Kittle game. So run the ball effectively with CMC, utilize play action, get George Kittle involved. On the defensive side of the ball, you know they have weapons. You know they're going to be able to move the ball. We have to contain. First and foremost, we got to contain. And please, 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 please stop the screens. Let's not get DeAndre Swift and Kenneth Gainwell involved by having Jalen Hurts dump it off for 2 and 3 yards and they take it 20. They take it 30. So defensively, keep contained. Make sure you got eyes on Jalen Hurts at all times. Shut the screens down. Our corners, they got a buck. This is a game we got to step up. Mooney did great against DK Metcalf, but I told y'all last week that is the game that he shows up for because DK got a lot of mouth, right? AJ don't have that much mouth. AJ don't talk a lot. AJ goes out there and produce. So you got to do it again this week against AJ. But also Demo on the other side or Ambry on the other side, you got to test too. Devontae Smith ain't no slouch. They don't call him the Slim Reaper for nothing.
Yep.
So our corners got to buck up and our corners got to play well. But I think everything married together when you talk about offensive line, protecting Brock Purdy, running game, play action, all of that coming together and gelling as one. Defense, contain, watching the screens, cornerbacks playing really well. Let Fred Warner, let Dre Greenlaw, let them dudes flow side to side and just hit people. You get all those things to marry well together. I think we got a recipe for a W.
Yeah, I think when I think about matchups, right, when I think about the matchups in this game, and I'm saying to myself, look, I know one person who had A.J. Brown on lock 2 years ago, rookie season, and it was Ambry Thomas in that Tennessee Titans game. And A.J. couldn't catch a pass. He couldn't get open. I don't know what it was. Then they moved him to the slot, and A.J. started cooking. And so, like, I'm more worried about how they shift their receivers. So then if A.J. Brown is the one, and then all of a sudden they make Smith the one, this might not be a good game matchup-wise for Ambry Thomas. Because our cornerback struggled last year. Even though that wasn't a catch, I don't give which I say
no, it wasn't a catch. Yeah.
It wasn't
clearly
a catch,
wasn't.
But
Kyle should have challenged it.
He should have challenged it,
and Huff told him to.
Yeah, that's what was crazy. I think that he regrets that a lot.
No, I don't know what he regrets, but at the end of the day, it wasn't a catch, and that one play just dominoes.
Yeah, everything just went
like
down.
Purdy got hurt after. Mm-hmm. It was just dominoes, just allowing them to extend. So, look, my thing is this. I'm going to give you some keys. Number one, limit the explosives. The Niners are great at not giving up explosive plays until they give up one. And you'd be like, damn it. Like Jackson Smith and Jigba catching the one-handed pass down the sideline. Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. Since when you start doing? You ain't even do that at Ohio State. But, yeah. It was a beautiful catch. But I was mad. It was for 34 yards. I'm like, damn it. They ain't give up no explosive plays until then. And so, I'm cool if they give up an underneath route, whatever. But, Peachy, I'm going back to the basics. Wrap and tackle. Mm-hmm. Because
amen.
Slim Reaper going to try to make you miss.
Yep.
I don't think he the greatest route runner, but he could run his routes. He could run out and ups. He could run double moves. And that's where I think Embry struggles. So I'm a little nervous if we'll see Diamandre Lenore on the outside and they go back to Isaiah Oliver on the inside at the nickel. So we'll see. Like, it's a matchup thing. It's going to be crazy. But my thing is, first and foremost, take away the run. Contain that dude, that quarterback it is. I don't think DeAndre Swift's going to have a field day in the run game. I do think he's running hard this year. He's looking like a number one running back, and I think that's what he's trying to prove to Philly. But I don't think he's going to be able to be that against the Niners' run defense. It's a little stacked. but they will utilize him in the passing game, and that's where it can get a little crazy, him and Kenneth Gainwell. So you guys got some good game plans. You know, I'll get to my keys to victory when I write them throughout the week, this weekend, and kind of go a little more in detail, five ways for the Niners to win this game. But I thought y'all game plans was spot on. Very spot on, man. I appreciate you guys. All right, let's go ahead and get to these Super Chat contributions. All right, man. My man, Sean Foghorn. What up, my whiteys? I never liked Charlie Brown or Beagles. God. Stupid dogs. We give Moles a pass. Him plus that leftover Brooklyn sandwich they call a Philly cheesesteak. They be tired by the playoffs.
Lord have mercy.
Well, we listen, this is the
we
game.
We always got to decode Sean's messages.
Let me go back to it again. What up, my whiteys? I never liked Charlie Brown or Beagles. So I know Charlie Brown's the character from the Peanuts and Beagles are stupid dogs. Oh, because Snoopy. Why he just didn't say Snoopy? Wasn't Snoopy a beagle?
Yeah, that's what he was. He was a beagle.
What? Was he?
Shit. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that.
I'm about to go get my piano and do some Charlie Brown music, though. We give Mo's a pass. Him and that leftover Brooklyn sandwich. Is that what the Philly cheesesteak is? A leftover Brooklyn sandwich? I forgot the history of the Philly cheesesteak. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Snoopy was a beagle.
Yes, Snoopy was a beagle.
According to his profile page on the Peanuts website, Snoopy.
But you're right.
A beagle.
Like, why didn't he just say?
Sean, when I tell you you're different, just stay different, bro.
They said what?
Had us looking up what kind of dog Snoopy was. God. It don't get much better than that. Keith Murphy, coming from the north side, even west. I know it's Murray. The unbeaten. He says, hi, much of a factor. Will the rain play 70% chance? Ooh. Peachy, what you think about this? Cause
is it 70? I thought it was,
you know,
30.
I was thinking about this. I think the rain favors the Niners.
Really?
Yeah.
Brock Purdy plays like
no,
in the
I'm
rain.
Not talking about with Brock. I think the 49ers would be able to run the ball like a lot better.
I know.
But if
they
it's
didn't do
raining.
It when it rained and we struggled.
Right. It's so, like Kyle seems to put that on. You know what I'm saying? Where we have like a ground game and it's more, it becomes like a ground and pound game then.
I know.
So
but the last time it rained,
up and wear
we
out.
Ain't do that. That's my
I
point.
I know that. I agree.
So I don't get it. It don't
but
make
normally
sense.
Normally that's what he, because you would just want to like beat that defense up so that you tire out their defense by, you know, just continuously like running the football.
Oh, did he mean like the Beagles as the Eagles?
Maybe.
It's too many codes, bro. It's too late for that shit. Like
now,
on this side
now
of the country.
Now what I'm looking at on my phone, we got a high of 53, which it should reach that by kickoff time.
Okay.
And I have 30% chance of rain on Sunday.
Okay.
But that don't look like till after 6 o'clock. So this game will be over and done with.
Oh, I like the way
well,
it
keeps
no,
changing.
Because it's
because
a 420.
It was
50%. Kick, right?
The game not over till about 7-something.
It started at 4, though. So I think it's going back and forth, you know, like as far as the weather goes. Because when I had seen it earlier, it said it was 50% and it was starting at 4. So we'll see.
Yeah, my weather app on my phone says 30%, and it don't look like it's starting till well after 6.
That'll be because
so
did
we
you
should
put
have
it
at least a first
Financial?
Half with no rain.
Say that again. Oh, put in Lincoln Financial.
Did you put it in directly at Lincoln Financial?
Well, I mean,
It might rain different over by the stadium for some reason, the other side of it's got different.
That's
stuff
true
going
too.
On.
I mean, I got Philly in just because I work in the city.
Of course.
I only seen that in Florida though, where it rained on one side of the street. And
I've never seen that, but I heard about that.
Bro, like you be like, it's sunny, and then on the other side it's rainy. I'd be like, this is different.
So I just pulled mine up and it says the same thing that yours does now, but it didn't earlier. Earlier it said 50% starting at 4, but now it says the same thing that yours does. So, okay. All right.
All right. We'll Charles see. Thomas, super chat. Our first play, because Kyle is a hole in a narcissistic way, will be play action. You know what's funny? I must be narcissistic because I swear to goodness, this is what I would do.
The play first, that he got injured on, that'd be the first play?
First play of the game.
First play. Roll it.
Agreed. I would do it. First play of the game. Put George Kittle on that side.
I would. It wouldn't let even
look,
run.
Let it look at Charlie Warner on that side. Let it look Juice on that side. Let it look a little different.
I like Take, it.
No. Let it look the same way.
Same like way,
it.
Bro.
Let it look the same set.
Dang
the
it,
same
Charles.
Motion. Let it look the same
Charles,
way.
I swear, Charles Thomas, my brother, I promise you.
I love that.
I do this.
Yeah.
So you can call me whatever you want, but this is exactly what I would do. Just because. And watch it be a touchdown.
Against that secondary? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of smoke going on. We ain't talking about none of the smoke. We ain't want this show to be about the smoke. We get this one show in. We wanted to give you some substance. But there's some smoke going on out there right now. Jax Knox is in the building. It's the season of giving. Happy holidays, everybody. Oh, my gosh. Friday is December 1st.
Happy holidays to you, Jack. Look forward to seeing you in Philly.
All right. Here we go. And then last but not least, my man Keith Murphy back. He says, I hope the rain favors Hurts. I think that's what he's saying. A honk.
Yes. I don't know what the honk. I don't. Oh, maybe he's saying, I think the rain favors Hurts.
Oh,
maybe that's what he's trying to say.
I love when they send us messages and we have to decode them with the secret decoder thing. No, please.
I think
that
might be more of a spelling thing, I think.
Nah, you know, when you typing on your phone be smelling words. Be like, shut up, AI. That ain't what I wanted you to say. I said it the way I said it. Spell it the way I said it. But that's not how the AI.
Listen, if anything,
that's what he said. He said thank. That's what I thought.
If anything, I would agree just because they're used to it. Because they played in rain games two straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They played in rain in Kansas City, and then they played in rain on their own field. So if anything, they're just more familiar with it. And because they've had two games in a row where they had to deal with it, if they need to make any adjustments, one, they'll probably make those even before the game starts because they've been through it and they know, okay, these are the type of cleats I'm going to need. This is the type of glove I'm going to need, blah, 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 blah. And even if they don't have it, you know, before the game, they'll be able to adjust and make those changes quickly because they're familiar with it. I think that's the only edge that I really see. But I think as far as, you know, their run defense versus our run defense, you know, if it becomes a game where, you know, the rain is kicking up and, you know, teams aren't able to pass as freely as they want to, I think it's mano a mano. We'll see who wins.
I could dig it.
Cass.
I'm with Peachy, though. Like, if it rains, then the game plan of the 49ers, it definitely is going to be some type of run. Like it's going to be run, Rudolph or whatever. You know what I mean? But we'll see what happens. I mean, I know Brock doesn't play as well in the rain, but this could be that game where everything just changes.
Yeah.
Like, everything just changes. All Brock got to do is go out there and just continue to be himself. He's got the support and cast. He's got, like, he's already defying the coach. Like, that's the Brock I'm talking about. Like, nah, coach. Look, coach already yelled at him for throwing the ball and back shoulder throw. Like, he got yelled at for that. And so he did it again. He didn't throw it to the shade. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Brock. Like, that's the balls he needs to grow. They're officially dropping. You beat Philly, they dropped. You've become a man and a quarterback in the NFL, Brock. Yep. And I think he goes out there and just continues to play his style of football. It's rhythm football, and then that's when he takes the shots at you. Like, once he knows he's got that rhythm and he thinks, and you think you're onto the rhythm, he's going to take the shots, and I love it. Are we ready for a grimy game? All right, here we go. We got to do score predictions, and we're getting up out of here. I know y'all don't want to do it, but we're going to do it because Keith says, are we ready to win a grimy game? And that's yes.
It's so gritty.
Or gritty, grimy, whatever. I get it.
Lordy.
So, yes, the Niners are ready to win. They got to. It's part of the making of the team, you know.
Listen, if Moody doesn't miss that kick, we're not asking that question.
That was the only grimy game we lost. Gritty game, excuse me. The other two, I felt like if the other two were on Brock, like if Brock doesn't throw the two interceptions in Minnesota, mm-hmm. we win that game. And then, mm-hmm. and same thing, if he doesn't throw that interception to that freaking defensive lineman, like we were in the red zone. That was a touchdown. We would have took the lead.
Yeah. And
so those were on Brock. But Moody's got to make that kick. And it might come down to Moody and the kick. Who is 17 for 20, 85% right now on the season? I do want to put that out there. So we'll see. And it might be raining, might be windy. Oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. All right, score predictions. PG, you go first. Moj, you go second. I'll cap it off. We out.
Oh, man, I've been thinking about this score for so long. The rain could change this so fast. I got like two scores down here. I'm trying to select which one I want to like officially go with. Okay. So my score prediction is lower than probably most. I see a lot of 30 somethings out there. I don't think this is a 30 Purdy game. I think this is a dirty Purdy game is what I think it is. And I have 27-24. That's what I have. 49ers. I think this comes down to a field goal, and I think that's how we win it.
I like it. All right. Mose?
24-20.
Ooh.
I like that, too.
I got Moody hitting a late field goal to give us 24 mm-hmm. so that the Eagles have to go score a touchdown. They can't win it on a field goal.
Gotcha.
And the defense stands, holds them out of the end zone. We get the ball back, kneel it out, run out the clock, walk out of Philadelphia with a 4-point victory.
Nice.
I like it. All right, so my score is going to be 31. They do get to 30. I think the 49ers have zero problem scoring 30 points. And I think they get to 30. So 31-24.
Ooh.
Yes, the defense is going to give up some points. Listen,
it
is what it is. Jalen Hurts is the man. And if he gets down to that damn end zone, it's a touchdown. It's automatic. It's like, just got to keep him away from the end zone. He can get in the red zone, but keep him away from the end zone. It's automatic. Automatic. So 31-24 for me. It's a touchdown, isn't it? Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Well, guys, if you're going to the game, listen, be safe out there. We'll definitely keep you posted. There's a bunch of shows. Make sure you guys like this joint. It's on my channel. It's on Moses' channel as well. Show his channel some love. Please go ahead and subscribe if you're not already subscribed to the Mose Knows channel here on YouTube. Mose and I will be back. We got our pick show coming up. I think we might be able to do the NFL show tomorrow. We'll see what's going on with our schedules. But, guys, it's been a great show. Love you, too. And let's have some fun this weekend. It's going to be a blast. All right, it's going to be a blast. Guys, we'll see you out there, man. Listen, you guys have been real. You guys have been supportive. You guys have most importantly been faithful. Keep being faithful. But listen, if there's any other time I need y'all to be gritty, is this freaking week against the mother freaking dirty Eagles. Please be as gritty as you possibly can be. Keep it real. Give them their smoke back. Let's go have some fun, man. Thanks for watching. Peace.
Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the lightest tone. We outline players up and show. Nitty gritty, this the lightest tone. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the lightest tone. Lightest tone, nitty gritty, this the lightest tone.